What shall we teach? What shall we say to the world and to the church? You know, there was a prophet in the Old Testament who wondered that very question. It was Isaiah. And it's found in Isaiah 40. He was told to cry, but he didn't know what to cry. So listen to what Isaiah 40, starting at verse 6, says. The voice said, that is the voice from heaven, cry out. And he said, Isaiah, what shall I cry? Here is the response. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. He was told what to preach in this manner. Isaiah, you need to understand that while the flesh of man is beautiful and man does beautiful things, he is nevertheless like the grass and the flower. The grass withers and the flower fades. However, in contrast to all that, the Word of God, it stands forever. So Isaiah, what do you think you should preach? He knew he should preach the Word of God. Therefore, we cannot teach and preach the words of man. Now, we may refer to him, we may use illustrations from man, but when it comes right down to it, the basis, the foundation of our preaching and teaching is the Word of God. The church must have something to announce, and it's got to be something that will last forever. And that's the Word of God. And the Word of God lasts forever because God lasts forever. Therefore, in 1 Peter chapter 1, this grand truth from Isaiah is quoted as applying, therefore, not only to the prophet Isaiah or any of those other Israelite prophets, but to the church as well. We need to understand the same truth. So here is what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, because, he now quotes Isaiah, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, Peter said. So again, what Isaiah was told was not applicable only for him and Israel, but it is for the church also. In fact, I think there's a good basis for saying that really what Isaiah prophesied was speaking about John the Baptist and his work. And of course, what he did was preparatory to Jesus coming into the world. And what did Jesus give us? The New Testament. So that truth is definitely eternal. Therefore, brethren, let us teach the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and nothing but the Word of God. That's what Paul did in Acts chapter 20. He reminded the Ephesian elders of how he conducted his ministry among them. And one of the things that he said to them was how he delivered to them the Word of God. And he didn't just give them some of it or the parts he liked. But here's what he said in verses 26 and 27. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, Well, why, Paul? For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Why was Paul innocent of the blood of all men? Why is it that when Paul stands at the day of judgment, he'll be innocent of everyone's blood to whom he spoke? Well, it's because he declared everything that God wanted him to declare. He didn't hold anything back, he said. But he spoke what was unpleasant and what was pleasant. Would Paul have been a faithful preacher of God if he had said, "Brethren, you need to repent, you need to understand repentance. If you don't repent, you can't be saved," but that's all that he ever said. And he never said anything about being faithful to God. While everything that he spoke was the truth, it wasn't all the truth. If Paul had said, "Brethren, we need to make sure that our worship is pure and that we never corrupt our worship by adding things to it," but then he never spoke about loving one another, would he have been a faithful preacher of God? Well, no. Therefore, the church has to teach the whole counsel of God. And here's one of the reasons why. Psalm 119 has a verse that tells us what the truth is. And I know Paul knew this passage. Whether Paul had this passage in mind when he gave those words that we now find in Acts chapter 20, I don't know. But I can look at his words, and I can look at the words of Psalm 119, verse 160, and I see no difference. I see the same truth being taught. The psalmist said, "The entirety of your word is truth." Or in my old American Standard Version, it said, "The sum of thy word is truth." Not S-O-M-E, S-U-M. The sum total. All of it together. Harmonizing together is what is God's truth. And if we want the truth for ourselves and we want it for others, then we have to give them the entirety of the truth. Jeremiah chapter 26 is explicit on what the Lord wants done. And how can we do any less, especially because we have the completed truth, which Jeremiah didn't have. Now, he had as much truth as God wanted him to have. But now, we have all the truth that God wants the whole church and the world to know. And so, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 26, verse 2, these instructions. "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word." This is one of many reasons why I like to teach and preach through Bible books. And I believe it's the best, though not the only way, to teach God's Word, the truth. For when we go through a Bible book, we're looking at truth the way God wants us to see it, and we're seeing all the truth that He wants us to see, rather than just us emphasizing what we want to emphasize, and maybe there's something that we forget or neglect. Joshua 8 is a guide for everyone who teaches. When you're teaching your neighbor or you're teaching someone at home, when you're teaching here in the church or wherever it is, let Joshua 8 be a guide. He got all Israel together. And then Joshua 8, 34 and 35 says this. "And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Joshua was a good man because he read the blessings and the cursings. He was not a liberal because he read the blessings. He was not a conservative because he read the cursings. But he was a man of God because he read all of God's Word. And that's what we should aspire to be also. Numbers chapter 22 tells us how Balak, the king of one of Israel's enemies, got a prophet of God, Balaam. And he knew this man had a connection with God, and he was hoping that he could persuade this prophet to curse Israel for him. And he offered him tons of money and wealth if he would do it. And while later Balaam showed him a way to get God to curse Israel, yet when it came to God's word, this is what he said in Numbers 22, verse 18. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the words of the Lord my God to do less or more. What God says to me, that's what I'm going to speak. He says, that's as a prophet, that's my job, I have to do that. Now later I'll tell you how you can get God to curse Israel, and he shouldn't have done that, and he paid for it with his life. 1 Kings 22. I remember the first time that I read this, I think it was in preaching school, I thought, wow, I want to be like Micaiah. I really liked his courage. In 1 Kings 22, King Ahab, along with King Jehoshaphat, are contemplating whether they should go to a particular battle or not. And all the prophets tell King Ahab what he wants to hear. But King Jehoshaphat is able to see through all those yes men. And he says, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here besides? Oh, yes, there is. There's Micaiah, Ahab said. But I hate him because he never has anything good to say about me. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, don't say that. Let's just call the guy and see what he has to say. So they send a messenger to Micaiah, and here's what happens in verses 13 and 14. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. And so then he goes before King Ahab. King Ahab asks him, shall we go to this war or not? And he told him, oh, sure, go ahead and do whatever it is you want to do. And Ahab saw through the sarcasm and demanded, how many times must I tell you in the name of the Lord to tell me the truth? So he did. And he put Micaiah in prison for it. But Ahab also lost his life. Now, Micaiah was not a disagreeable man, but he was an agreeable man to God first. And, you know, if that made the messenger, the king, all the other prophets, and all his friends happy, then praise God. But if it didn't, he still had to speak, and, you know, may God have mercy on those who would not accept what the Word says or who would not live what the Word says. Now, I want to take this matter to the next level. What is the purpose in speaking the whole Word of God? Well, the purpose is that we might live the whole Word of God. That's all that God wants from us. Matthew chapter 4 shows our Lord in action. And what is His view on what gives man life? He so emphasized the Word of God that Jesus even put it above food. After He had not eaten for 40 days,
The devil came to him.
If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Taking care of the body is not all there is to life. Jesus quoted there from Deuteronomy 8 to emphasize that taking care of the spirit is of even greater importance. You know, the Bible encourages us to fast. That there's times when it's a good thing for us to abstain from eating. But it never says to fast from feeding your spirit. As far as I know. I don't know of any place where he says, stay away from the Word of God for 40 days. It's just not there. Because we need the Word of God constantly, and we need all the Word of God to give us a well-balanced diet. Romans chapter 2 takes our boast of having the truth and makes us think whether we are living the truth. Watch what Paul says to the Jews, and then I'm going to come around back and use the same passage to make a point to us in the church today. Romans 2:17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest in the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth and law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. What have we gained if we preach and teach all the Word of God, but we don't live all the Word of God? What are we if we tell others to live by the Word of God, but we don't live by the Word of God ourselves? Indeed, we are called Christians and rest our hopes on the New Testament and make our boast in the restoration of the church. And know God's will, and we approve the things that are scriptural, being instructed in the New Testament, and are confident that we ourselves are guides to the denominations. Light to those who are in error, instructors of the foolish, teachers of babes, having the form of knowledge, and living in the truth. We therefore, who teach others, do we not teach ourselves? We who preach that churches should not teach denominational doctrines, do we adhere to our own man-made traditions? We who say, do not ignore certain passages, do we ignore other passages? We who abhor corruption in worship, do we corrupt worship by failing to engage in all aspects of the worship? We who make our boast in the New Testament, do we dishonor God through breaking the New Testament? For the name of God is blasphemed among the denominations because of us, as is written. For baptism is indeed profitable if we keep the whole New Testament. But if we are breakers of the New Testament, our baptism has become unbaptism. James chapter 2 demonstrates that one command of God is as important as another. We cannot emphasize one while ignoring another. But we have to take them all together. Here's what James said in James 2, verses 8 through 11. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So if we keep the whole law of Christ, but stumble in one thing, either by doing what is forbidden or not doing what he tells us to do, James says we're still lawbreakers. We are in the same company as others we condemn, whom we claim are not part of us. Finally, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus presents what will ultimately be a very shocking experience for some at the day of judgment. And hopefully none of us will be included in that number. For there were some people, Jesus said, or there will be some people, who honestly believe that they did the right thing. And maybe they did. But they discovered that something was wrong. Here's what he said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your names, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, there's two possibilities here, the way I understand this. Number one, it could be that these people were actually doing fraudulent things. They believed sincerely that they were really doing good things, but they were fraudulent. Or number two, they weren't fraudulent at all. They really did the things they claimed. But they ignored other commands of God. Or they sinned in some fashion, because he said they practiced lawlessness. So on the one hand, they did good things and they did it in his name, bringing glory to him. But then, somehow, they were practicing lawlessness. And for that, he said, they were not allowed into heaven. And that, of course, makes that a very serious matter. So, brethren, we need to learn to think as God does. We need to seek purity in all things. And, of course, live as God prescribes for us. With everything that we've got. Now, he knows that we stumble and fall along the way. And of course, that's where His grace and His mercy come in. And He's ready to help us. So we're talking about just a determined path of rebellion. That even, you know, that all our good works does not cover up our rebellion in a certain area. Again, God wants us not only to teach and preach all His Word, but to do all His Word. Can we be of assistance to you tonight? We'd really love to pray for you or minister to you in some way that you might be closer to God. Come forward now, please, as we stand and sing.